Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Happy Monday, Cleveland. It is a relatively... In terms of today, I feel like a slower sports day than we've had in the past few weeks, really. I mean, you have no Cavs tonight. They're off as they get prepared to head out west and start at the end of our show for the next week plus. But you got a pretty exciting sports weekend. You got the Cavs having their 16-game winning streak snapped. How exciting. And you did get to hear from Kenny Pickett today on Baskin and Phelps. But we'll react to some of that. We'll definitely react to the Cavs as well. Everything going down with Kirk Cousins and the Falcons and how it relates to the Browns. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime until 11 tonight. Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard her on the 2020s and doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us. I was watching the Cavs in the game, and I was sort of like in between all over the place watching this game. I had started watching it at home, then I had to get in the car. I drove, watched it there. I didn't watch it there. I listened to it there, okay? We're responsible while we drive. We weren't watching the game while driving. But I was listening to it on my drive there. And then I got to where I was going, threw it on my phone for a while, and watched the last like 30 seconds on a TV. And at no point during that entire game did I really feel any kind of emotion whatsoever, except for maybe like the Donovan dunk. The Donovan dunk kind of like electrified me for all of 2 minutes, and I was like, all right, and okay, back to watching a team that was, you know, 46 games above 500. And I'm like, okay, things are good. Things are going okay. There was no emotion for me. Every time watching this team, I think down the stretch of this year, it's just going to be sort of, and I think the way that they view it too is almost a way of, okay, we're kind of cruising. This is just what we're doing. Like, there's nothing really to play for at this point. You are pretty much just like, okay, let's make sure we're staying warm, staying, getting our reps, and then try to sort of coast on to the playoffs and get there while, of course, staying healthy and making sure that we're good to go and oiled up for it. But nothing that's like, okay, big game coming up. Like, if I lose what the last three games of the season are Pacers, Knicks, Pacers, I'm telling you right now, if they go 0-3 in that stretch, I don't know that I'm going to be all that upset. I don't know that I'm going to be mad, because I just don't know that I buy into the fact right now this team has played so well together and has dominated for a majority of the season. And I know they've had their struggles. We've talked about their struggles. And I'd like you to sort of go through a natural progression of maybe like wind it down here for a few games, coast on the West Coast here, just kind of, you know, if you get a win, great. If not, take a deep breath, you survive, make sure that your guys are playing less minutes, make sure you're getting rest days in, and then maybe in the last few games, maybe start to ramp it back up just in terms of, all right, let's make sure we're getting back to closer of the minutes we were playing, and everything will be okay. We'll just get to the playoffs. Everyone can have a nice deep breath and we'll be all right. I just don't know that I care about the way that this team performs heading into the playoffs, right? Everyone says, oh, you want to be playing your best basketball heading into the postseason, which of course you do. I mean, if you take what March Madness starts here, I mean, technically, if we want to be technical here in the 68-team playoff, it starts tonight. Or tomorrow night, excuse me. It starts tomorrow night. Like, okay, if that's what you want to be excited for, and that's the way, those are the type of teams that have to be hot once you get to tournament time, because it's one and done. You lose a game and you're out, so you have to be playing your best basketball. But the NBA just doesn't function that way. You don't have to be playing lights-out basketball, I think, heading into the postseason. You want to be playing good basketball. You want to make sure you're warmed up, but I mean, let's be realistic. To some degree, the first round of the playoffs for the Cavs should be almost a warm-up, a ramp back up. If you use those last few games to say, all right, let's get back to our minutes, Cavs should be hitting the stride of we're playing our basketball. And when we're playing our best basketball at full health, what, you're going to match me up with who are the teams sitting near the 8 spot right now? I know that the 8 right now is obviously the Orlando Magic, who you just lost to. But, like, the Hawks are around there. The Miami Heat, I think, are the 9 seed. Like, none of those teams, in the slightest, are going to scare me in the first round. To the point where I'd be stunned if the Cavs, at any point, even if they rested the last 3 games of the year, if they went past 5 games playing one of those teams, I'd be genuinely surprised. It just does not faze me that they need to be hitting their stride heading into the playoffs. I think that's what you use sort of almost this first round of the playoffs to do. And, I mean, congratulations. Welcome to the NBA. You just don't really see 8 seeds upsetting 1 seeds in the current state of the game. Just doesn't really happen. The 1 seed coast, they get to where they need to go in that first round. Well, it can be ugly, but typically your 1 seed is so much superior than the 8 seed that it's like, okay. The 8 seed might genuinely win 27 games this year, 28. Can't be far off. The Orlando Magic are the 8. I mean, we're looking at Chicago as a potential 8 seed after the play-in. That team's awful. That team's terrible. Like, if I'm going into a playoff series against them, I'm just not scared. I'm just not scared about this Cavs team at all, because I think you really have gotten to the point where in a first-round matchup, even after watching a loss to Orlando last night or last afternoon, you just can't be upset about it. You sit there and watch that game, and I can't be upset about it because I'm like, okay, you're missing Evan Mobley. Things clearly didn't really break your way in this game at a few different points. You didn't play your best basketball. You didn't shoot the best. You lost the game. Okay, 16-game win streak had to end at some point. This win streak had to come to a close. 16 games, not too shabby. I would say pretty good. I'd say you're feeling pretty good after winning 16 in a row. It had to be a loss at some point, some way. And I've seen this team bounce back so many times from dropping one game, again, after 3 different 12-plus game winning streaks this year. I've seen them. Okay, we lost one. Okay, maybe you lose 2. Maybe you go through a little bit of a quote-unquote rough patch, if that's what we're calling this right now. There's teams in the NBA that have lost like 7-8 games straight currently as we speak. The Cavs have lost 11 games all year. I'm just not worried. I can't be upset. I can't be dissecting this game against the Orlando Magic, even though it's on national television, even though they blew multiple double-digit leads throughout the game. I just can't look at it and pound my fist on the table and say, you got to be kidding me. This is unreal, the basketball that I just watched. No, it's like, okay, you missed some shots. They had an abysmal start to the second quarter. Paolo Banchero played pretty well. It was a pretty good game out of him. And they played well down the stretch. And you got into a game, and you had an ample opportunity to win that game, and then Donovan decided, okay, well, I'm just going to go takeover mode. We're just going to launch it up at the end of the game. Okay, maybe that's like the biggest takeaway from this entire thing yesterday. Maybe I look at that game and I go, Donovan, I know you're the closer, okay? Why don't we work for an open shot when we're down 3? Why don't, instead of just hucking one, we get an offensive rebound and you take it and sprint to the corner and pull another moving contested 3, why don't we reset the offense and try to get it into an open player's hands? It's what we've been built off of. Okay, Darius has been great in the clutch. You've also been really good down the stretch. You didn't have Evan Mobley, but heck, at this point, I would trust DeAndre Hunter if he had to shoot one, even though he didn't play his best game yesterday. Heck, if you want to throw Max Strus on the floor and put him out there, if he's open, I'll take my chances, okay? I'll take my chances with anybody coming through in that moment. That might be the biggest takeaway from that game. A game that snapped a 16-game losing streak. One that has you going, well, man, this team blew double-digit leads. And this team, game after game, and we've talked about it again, I've highlighted this fact that, yeah, against the Hornets and against the Nets, you've allowed teams to stay in it. I think watching that game yesterday, truly, to me, sitting there with no emotion and just being like, okay, this is just another game. You win or you lose doesn't change my mind. I think I've gone sort of full Cavs mindset in this process where they're just like, okay, get me to the playoffs. Right? As long as we play decent basketball, there's no way we're giving up the one seed. Do we really care if we're the first overall seed and we get above the Thunder? Sure, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to say if we got to the finals that we'd have home court advantage. I just don't think that's where the Cavs' head's at. I think truly they look at it right now and they're saying, okay, let's get to the playoffs, take care of business in the first round, take care of business in the second round, and then sights are on Boston. And that is sort of the hurdle to get over. After that, you can go, oh my, the NBA Finals are here, okay? The NBA Finals are here. But truly, I think they're get healthy to the playoffs and just try to win way. Don't kill yourself over it right now. Don't be playing at 1,000%, pushing your body to the limit and risking your health when you know just around the corner your best opportunity that you've all had in your career. Every person on there not named Tristan Thompson, this is your best opportunity to win an NBA championship. Wouldn't you rather do that healthy? And for Tristan, I mean, it's basically coattail on his way to a championship at this rate, okay? You got to earn the first one. If you get to this one, it's like, oh, yeah, I played a few minutes in, select games. I just think the mentality right now for them is get to the playoffs, don't do a whole lot. Which, again, coming full circle here, I just don't know that I'm putting any stock into at the end of the year. I need to see you get hot. Use the first series. Use the first series to get a warm-up. Make sure that your offense looks good. Make sure that you're staying strong on defense. I don't care what you look like at the end of the year. That's the bottom line. And not to say that the rest of the regular season is sort of a walkthrough, but in some way it sort of is. They won't view it entirely that way, but I think as a fan perspective right now, if you're viewing the Cavs regular season in the last, 15 games? 15, 16 games that you have to go? Okay. You just get me through these. I'll watch. I'll be excited. I'll be waiting to see what they can do. Right? Maybe in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there going, I wonder if they really could set the franchise record for wins here. I wonder if they could go and, listen, long road. He could be touching 70. You could just graze 70 wins, which is a really impressive feat. You know, only a couple of teams in NBA history have ever done it. Okay. It's great if you get there. I'll be watching. I'll be supporting. I'll be rooting along the way. But really, at the forefront of my mind is what happens when it rolls over from the regular season to the playoffs. That's the mode we entered. And I avoid that mode for as long as possible because I do think the regular season matters. I know this team takes the regular season seriously. But I truly believe that the way this team is built, the chemistry that they have, and just the way that they evenly play basketball, and it's not a one-player takeover, I don't care. Anybody could be hot on any given night, and it's not going to matter. 216-474-0092. The Cavs need to be hot heading into the playoffs. We'll also get into maybe a potential playoff matchup you may be scared of after watching the game on Sunday. You can also get me on X at VolnickJake, VolnickNec Jake. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot to get to tonight. We'll have a couple of guests for you. Dane Lobby going to join us at 8 o'clock, and we'll have Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report going to join us at 9:20, and James Rapine, Cincinnati Bengals on SI, going to join us at 8:40 for a new segment, Draft Daily. We'll go in, we'll look at different teams, sort of see where they sit in the draft process and what some people around the league think they're going to do that cover those teams. We got the Station Buzz coming up at 7:40. We have Get a Grip at 9 o'clock, as we always do, and a whole lot more. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do the Cavs need to be hot heading into the playoffs. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on Overtime on 92.3 The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092. Do the Cavs need to be hot heading into the playoffs this year? Again, I just can't buy into it. I don't care what this team looks like heading into the playoffs because I know the product you've put out all year. I know just by watching the team, playing it to the eye test, heck, you can play it beyond the eye test. It's not a fluke. It's not like this team's just going to fall off the face of the earth and not be the team they've been all year. They've only gotten better. And let's be realistic. We've had our concerns over this team within the win streak, struggling against the Knicks, struggling against the Hornets, struggling again yesterday against the Magic. But, like, you run a 16-game win streak. The longest win streak of not only the season, but also franchise history. Like, we're complaining. I'm getting nitpicky over here about wins. We're setting the longest win streak in franchise history, and I'm nitpicky because you didn't beat the Hornets by enough. Like, take that in. That is the level that we've gotten to of holding the Cavs to a high standard. And you know what the focus is. You know where they're trying to go. It's not just, let's make sure we're really good. We have to be super hot heading into the playoffs. Again, you're going to be so much better than whoever the 8 seed is. That series just shouldn't go past 5 games. Everybody healthy, everybody playing to the best of their ability should not go past 5 games. Just shouldn't. All right, 216-474-0092. Let's get out to the phones. Thomas is in Shaker. What's going on, Thomas?
What's up, Jake? Hey, man, look, first of all, let's get to it. First of all, let me say this. I don't think us Clevelanders give ourselves enough credit for our basketball knowledge. We've been to 5 finals since the year 2000. We know what a championship basketball team looks like. We know what it takes to win a championship. Because simply, we've been there plenty of times. I've been to more Cavs playoff games than I've been to Browns playoff games. Anyway.
That's a low bar there, huh? You didn't have to fight very hard. You just had to attend a couple.
Man, look. I bet you there's people out there who've been to more Cavs final games than they've been to Browns playoff games.
Don't doubt that for a second.
Anyway. So this city knows what championship basketball is. To answer your question, no, they don't got to be hot. It's just about locking up the number one seed because the main focus is beating the Celtics. And one more thing before I got the phone. Mm-hmm. The Cavs-Celtics rivalry is the most underrated rivalry in the NBA. We beat them in 2017 and 2018 in the Eastern Conference Finals. And people in Boston are still mad about that. Still mad about that for some reason. Not my fault they didn't have LeBron and Kyrie. Oh, well, Boston. Y'all still suck. Go Cleveland. Go Cavaliers. You suck, Boston Celtics. I hate y'all just as much as y'all hate us. Go Cavs. Can't wait to see y'all in May. That's all I got to say.
I like it, Thomas. I appreciate the call. I mean, listen, I'm definitely not wrong. Like, the Cavs have built almost, I don't want to say a championship culture because I don't really think that's fair as an organization outside of being able to play with LeBron, but you've seen it here. They know what it takes to get there. They know what a winning team to some degree looks like. I just, again, most underrated. Cavs Celtics is up there, guys. Cavs Magic is low-key brewing. Like, in terms of teams who hate each other, like, I think the Cavs would wash over the Orlando Magic this year. Like, it's definitely two teams with some bad blood. And we were talking about it in the pre-show. Talk about Ty Jerome and Paolo Banchero. I mean, jawing at each other, and I was just like, okay. At first, I was like, what a weird duo to be jawing at each other. But at the same time, Ty Jerome didn't play last year. Paolo's got the sort of edge of like, oh, we played you really tough when you wanted us, but we still didn't get the win. And Ty's like, okay. You got to take it to game 7. I mean, we were missing people. I wasn't out there, and now I'm starting to cook you. So, like, let's be realistic. Let's just be realistic about the way this whole thing goes down. Okay, would you play us this year, which you just might, don't expect this thing to go 7. But again, I think underrated rivalries. Cleveland's sort of a part of them. People talk about this team just not having physicality or like an edge to them. They had sort of carried around the idea that they're soft. I think very quickly the team is dispelling that. Just the way they've started to jaw a little bit more. I mean, we've seen confidence out of Evan Mobley, sort of talking his talk. Ty's talking the talk. You know, Tristan will do it. I mean, you miss George Niang if you're looking for setting an edge, but that's about the only time you miss George. Oof. About the only one.
Oof.
Yeah, okay. We got the one time I missed George Niang. That's it.
Okay, really quick. I don't know if you saw, though, but Paolo was talking crap to George when he, like, this season a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. And Ty and George are buddies, like, close. So I'm like, I feel like there was a little, you know.
You think Ty was going to bat for George?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, obviously for himself, but, you know, he's got to stick up for, you know, his little, his sweet prince in Atlanta.
I wouldn't say little.
Okay.
If we're talking George, the last thing I'm using as a descriptor is little. Yeah, it's not a little man. That is Ty Jerome, little. Also, no, but like NBA terms, a little bit. I mean, he's still got. Listen, they're actually built way too similarly. Like Ty is a slimmer version of George. Okay, that's all it is. And just about everybody could be a slimmer version of George.
Oh, whatever. But I will say, Ty is so deceivingly. Is it deceivingly big or deceivingly small? He's a lot bigger in person than you would think.
Deceivingly big.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because he's 6'5". He does not look like he's 6'5".
I know, he looks 6'2 on the court. I'm like, oh my. And then you see him in person, he looks huge.
Yeah, if you made me guess Ty Jerome's height before, Jackson and I had this conversation not that long ago. So I was just like, okay, yeah, I know how tall Ty is. If you would have made me guess before, I'd have been like 6'2", 6'3". No, he's 6'5", walking out there. And again, he's got a little bit of a body to him, but. And I don't know that he's going to bat for George. I don't know that he's...
Mo's not going to be back, though, for playoff. Like, he's completely out for the rest of the season, right?
Mo Wagner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I couldn't handle him last year during playoffs. He was... Him... Oh, God. I mean, everybody... he made Cleveland hate Orlando. So I'm just happy that if we do match up with him in the playoffs, we're not going to have to deal with him.
I almost think it'd be more fun to deal with him. I kind of like that. The idea that you have sort of a... I don't know, like a villain. A villain to go after. Like, Mo Wagner was definitely the villain in that series.
I think Paolo's making himself the villain right now.
Yeah, but that one makes too much sense. Like, he's the best player on the team, of course. Like, if I'm going up against, I guess the Warriors would have been Draymond, but it was also like Steph. Like, Steph was the villain. Draymond was clearly also the villain, but it was like, okay, that could have been Paolo and Mo. Would have been like, okay, Paolo's the villain because he's starting to cook you at different points, and Mo's the villain because what is the tall German dude over here just jawing his mouth off for no reason for. Like, you've grabbed 6 rebounds today and you're 1 for 6, okay? Why are you out there talking? I feel like that one's kind of fun. I feel like that one out there, it gets you a little bit going. I like that guy in the series. But, yeah, no, it just... They don't do it this year. There's nothing there this year. And Ty's, I think, definitely going to bat for himself. I think Ty feels sort of slighted that went 7 and he wasn't there to be in that series. And I think that plays a little part into it. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's talk to Todd. What's going on, Todd?
So I'm of the belief, Jake, that the Cavs bench should be able to smoke and do so any team that's less than the fourth seed or less in their path. So that loss yesterday concerned me, man.
Todd, when you say that, do you mean the bench smokes the other team's bench, or our bench would smoke their starters?
Their starters.
Okay, I think that might be a little bit of a press. I think it might be a step over. I don't know that we're that good, but our bench is very good. Like, if you say our bench smokes everybody's bench that's honestly below Boston, I'd be like, yeah, probably. That's an accurate statement. I don't know that our bench smokes their starters, though.
They should. They should.
Paolo's really good. He's very good. Like, one of the best players in the East. Right? If he was not playing on the Magic, they'd be a much better. He'd be somewhere on a very good team. He'd still be a key piece, like a top 2 to 3 player on any other team in the East right now. No questions asked.
I'm not knocking that. That's not why I made that sound. My thing is that they only really had 2 good players.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Franz and Paolo, yeah.
Yeah, and the Cavs bench should be good enough to smoke any of the 4 seeds or small or lesser, because as you said, in a regular one game, the Cavs starters against their starters, yeah, sure, they blow them out on one game, but you got to go the distance in the playoffs. You're not gonna just be able to play one game and be done with it, except for, I think, is the play-in game just one game?
Yeah,
it's the play-in game, one singular. Okay, so yeah, there's something to be concerned about there, because there's going to come a time when some folks are going to be down when the playoffs start, and you need to be able to hold that lead, and they don't look like they can.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, the only thing that sort of throws me the other way is it's a one-off game. Yes, it was national television. And, like, you're missing Evan Mobley. And then on top of it, I just don't think that this team is in a spot where they're like, we need to go pedal to the metal and win every game left in front of us. I think they are, whether they like it or not, almost in a coast mode. Not to mention they had won 16 straight. And they were like, they're in kind of a, I don't know that it's like a hell predicament right now where they're playing so many games, but you're about to go out west. You're about to travel. It was sort of the 1 o'clock throwaway game, the off time, and they still played that close with no Mobley. So I don't know. It wasn't a great game from them, but I wasn't like overly concerned.
How many left and do they play the Lakers out west?
They have, I think, 15 or 16 left. I don't know the exact number. It's one of those. And no, they do not play the Lakers.
Okay. Well, my response is still where it is. I'm concerned. They should have wore Orlando out. So an exit separate from that, keep an eye on this safety out of U.S. University of South Carolina. Just no further comment.
Okay.
He's probably going to be number 25, 26 in the draft. We need a safety.
I'll keep my eye out.
Different conversation. Don't remember his name. Sounded kind of like a Nigerian name. All right, later.
All right, see you, Don.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the Magic disrespect. Like, I am one person who, like, I don't take the Magic overly seriously this year. I think that they're, one, a team who's dealt with a lot of injuries. Like, they have gone through sort of the ringer throughout the year. It's not like they're going to get them all back. Like, I think, what, Jalen Suggs is done for the year, if I'm not mistaken. I know Mo Wagner's done for the year. Those aren't, like, massive pieces for them, but they're, like, good pieces. Like, Jalen Suggs starts. Mo Wagner probably wouldn't start, but he's a key piece off the bench. Like, they're not bad pieces for them. So they have been sort of pushed over by injuries. I think if they weren't fully injured, they'd probably be, like, a 6-5 seed, somewhere in that range. They're a good team, but I'm not overly worried. Like, I'm not putting the disrespect to Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero.
There's no Evan Mobley. There's no reason to be worried.
I mean, that's sort of the Paolo stopper, right? Like,
and Paolo,
ideally.
Paolo only shot 6 for 22 yesterday. He shot terrible. They played him well. It looked like, it seemed like he was playing a lot better because he was 9 for 11 from the free throw line. But if he's shooting 6 for 22, you're going to win that game 9 times out of 10. It just didn't bounce the way yesterday because, like you said, for whatever reason, Donovan Mitchell's just chucking up stuff at the end of the game.
9 of 28, and he's just throwing threes to the wind in the last possession.
It's okay. Everybody can breathe and relax.
It's just a game against the Magic. Let's slip in one more caller here before we hit the break. Let's go to Daryl's in Cleveland. What's going on, Daryl?
Nothing much, man. I'll try to be quick. I know you're up against it. I'm not worried, man. This Cavs team is a completely different team than it was last year. They're well coached as opposed to last year. Donovan had an off game. I mean, Orlando had to do everything they could possibly do to win that game. That's not happening in 7 games, man, in a 7 game series. I'm not worried about it. It's one of those losses that a winning team needs to have, you know, to kind of just keep you level and bring you back down to earth and let you know whoever you play, they're going to bring their best effort. So you got to be ready. You can't be lackadaisical. And the guys might say that they weren't, but I thought I saw a couple that were. So yeah. I'm not worried, man. I mean, I think it was a good game for them to lose to, you know, keep them grounded. You know, you get high up in the clouds when you win 16 straight, man.
Yeah, you're not kidding, Daryl, and I appreciate the call. I just think, again, if this team would have entered the playoffs on what would it be, a 32-game win streak? Guys, you're asking for disaster. Like, nobody can take us down, and then all of a sudden that's when you go 7 games with Orlando, and you're like, reality checks you real quick. Yeah, I think you're almost in a good spot, like Daryl said, because you took a loss to Orlando. You can't be mad. All right. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll talk to Dan Lobby at Cleveland.com. We'll get to talking about your Cleveland Browns as well. Come your way in about 5 minutes, the Station Buzz. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. I don't know if it's of any interest to anybody, but Mike Florio of PFT, throwing it out there. Just throwing out the idea that in the Browns Myles Garrett contract, in which, you know, Mike's a lawyer, Mike reviews it, puts out an article, the Browns did happen to mention that Myles' roster bonus could go from, you know, if it's 17 games, it'd be the total amount of money, which I think is $1 million for his
per year to be on the active roster, to be rostered bonus, could go, and it would be divided by 17 games in a 17-game regular season, or if it were to go to 18, it'd be divided by 18 games in the regular season. So maybe the NFL closer to going than 18 than 17. I think that's about the extent of the conversation we just got out of it. I think that was about it. But sort of interesting. Weird that they're already putting it into contracts. Can't be that far off. But without further ado, let's get to what is the most pressing sound bites from across the station today. That's with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Zach Harper of The Athletic, he covers the NBA over there, was on with Nick and JP today on Afternoon Drive, and he put what the Cavs' goals should be for the rest of the regular season.
Get healthy, stay healthy, right? Everyone's got, like, no freak accidents, no ankle injuries, none of that stuff. We know what this team looks like. We know what this team's capable of. Maybe get a little more fine-tuned defensively, especially in terms of making sure you can cut off the paint and the three-point line, which is tough. And then I think it's just, how do you build back momentum towards the playoffs? I mean, it's not that it got snapped. Like, their win streak got snapped, but it's not like they're all of a sudden playing bad basketball. This team's been amazing all season and has been ridiculous for the last month. But really, really with this team, it's just they got to be healthy. We saw that last year. They were so injured last year, and it's a different mentality and a different team. They can't go through that. You know, is Donovan going to play? Is Jared Allen going to play? Is Darius Garland healthy? They can't have that again.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think everybody would agree at this point that health is the most important thing for the Cavs right now. Please, for the love of God, stay healthy. Just don't have anybody deal with the major injury. That takes resting players. Again, in my ideal world, it would be, you know, start to ramp things down here on the West Coast trip once you start to get back home, you know, plateau a little bit and then start to ramp back up. See if you can build a little momentum. See if you can get a little bit of, you know, minutes up, players playing at a little bit of a higher pace, higher intensity. But ultimately, if they don't get there, they don't get to that higher pace and higher intensity and higher minutes by the end of the regular season, the last few games, still not going to be worried about it. It goes back to what we just talked about for the last 40 or so minutes. Just not worried. This team can do nothing to scare me at this point. I'm convinced they're in full playoff mode, and honestly, as they should be. All right, let's go to Scott Petrak, who's on with Baskin and Phelps of BrownZone.com, talking about the Browns and maybe some free agents still out there that would show some interest.
So there's guys out there still, and I feel now is when you can get one of those guys maybe on a one-year deal and for cheap money. And I think that's probably what Andrew Berry is looking for the whole time. And I think there are still several guys that could come in and improve and be upgrades right away that they can sign, whether it's this week or next week or wherever. They got plenty of time. But I think there's plenty of candidates out there.
Yeah, I think that right now where the Browns sit, you probably haven't done enough to go out and be happy with what they put on the roster. Like, yeah, they made a couple of okay pieces, shored up some rotational pieces on the defense. But ultimately, the offense is more what I'm scared about. And I know you're going to address a large part of that in the draft. But heck, I mean, there's got to be guys who are worth anything right now sitting in free agency. I mean, you could talk, you're looking for a corner, Asante Samuel's on the market, right? Asante Samuel do anything for anybody? 25-year-old corner? Can't be nothing. Stephon Diggs is there if you're looking for a star wide receiver. Hey, go get Stephon off an ACL injury. Why not? What do you have to lose? Again, it's not like I'm sitting here salivating over the names left, but there's guys who I think are useful players that you could go out, sign for a reasonable contract, and actually have contribute to your team. Ohio State fans will like the name J.K. Dobbins, right? Throw him out there. You sign him to a contract. If you're not bringing back Nick Chubb, you're not bringing back a couple of guys on this roster, you're trying to build out the running back room, J.K. Dobbins is a fine name. There's nothing wrong with it. But just go find me something. Go throw something together and try to get me a piece that's actually going to start on this team, preferably on the offensive side of the ball. I think it would go a long way with fans just to sign someone to a one-year deal. Show me you're truly competing. And, you know, if you want to throw us a good name like Keenan Allen, feel free. And if you just want to throw me a wide receiver I can have trust in the slightest bit other than to stay healthy, feel free to do it. Big name on with Baskin and Phelps earlier today. Kenny Pickett, current Browns quarterback. Current, if the season were to start today, the Browns starting quarterback. And I cross my fingers and hope for the best it's not the case. But he did talk about today just sort of being a fit in what would be the Stefanski offense.
It does. I think, you know, there's some things in the pocket. There's things on the move that I can do. You know, I feel like, you know, Philly has some elements of that. You know, Pittsburgh has some elements of that. So I think I can do different things from inside the pocket and also getting on the move. And I feel like that's, you know, one of the reasons why they went and got me to, you know, fit the system.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm encouraged or discouraged by this statement. The fact that he's like, well, a lot of similar things in Pittsburgh and Philly to what's happening here. Well, Kenny, I mean, well, let me be honest with you. Like, the record doesn't look too bad. You weren't that great in Pittsburgh. Even in the games you played in Philly, you also weren't that great. I don't know that I'm just dying over the fact of that. But I do, again, I think it made a lot of sense. Clearly, there's going to be similarities between the Eagles and Browns. I mean, Andrew Berry practically kisses the feet of Howie Roseman in every ground that he walks on. And is obsessed with the way that he does things. He follows in his footsteps. You think there'd be some similarities there. It does. It makes a ton of sense. And I do think that Kenny, well, I don't think he's going to be a great starting quarterback. He's at least a decent option of a quarterback that can step in and run Stefanski's offense. I do think that a lot of things are sort of set up for that. Just again, please don't be my starter. Appreciate you having on the station, though. It's nice. It's nice. We always like to hear from you. Just not as my starting quarterback this year. I don't know that I beg, but I'm close. Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports beat reporter, on with Ken and Anthony this morning, as he always is on Monday mornings, or at least normally. And he talked about the type of quarterback that the Browns might need.
Here's the glass half full right now. Kenny Pickett's an absolute upgrade over DTR. So today, they have a better quarterback room than they did a year ago. Maybe they take two quarterbacks in this draft, right? Maybe you take Shadur. I think Cam Ward's going number one. You take Shadur at two, and then maybe you get down. They need one of these kids to be a game changer, and that's a lot to put on a kid, but, well, welcome to the big leagues, guys. They need a guy that can come in and be a transcendent player. If you're Andrew Berry and you feel, yeah, one of these two guys can be on that level, then yeah, you got to go get them.
Daryl has, for somebody who's been in the camp of don't draft a quarterback, don't draft a quarterback, don't draft a quarterback, a great stance here for Daryl to be sitting here and now back onto our side of, oh no, if it's a really good quarterback and you think that he changes the play of the game and completely transforms the team, you take him. Yeah, it's kind of what we're hoping for. Now, I go a step farther, and I say, hey, you better believe it. But even if everyone else doesn't believe it, you still hammer it home and take the guy, because we need to take a shot here. You have to at least fire from the hip and hope that you get lucky. You're not going anywhere without at least a pretty good quarterback. I always say you don't have to match up with Patrick Mahomes, and I mean that. But you at least got to be able to play competent football, okay? I can't go in here with Kenny Pickett or DTR. That's not going to cut it. A current form of Deshaun Watson, injured or not, not going to cut it. I need you to at least step up and do something for me. You got to be a top 15 quarterback. I need a little bit. But I like to see Daryl coming around. It's nice. It's a good change. Next time when we talk to him tomorrow, I might just play this back for him and be like, huh? Huh? How about that? From a guy who didn't want a quarterback, sounds pretty good to me. Let's get to the last one here. Joe DeLeo, A to Z Sports, on with Nick and JP today. Talked about a guy who's now sticking in Atlanta, but still optimistic about the way that the Browns should pursue it.
I like the thought it would be kind of brutal if they go and get Kirk Cousins and then they draft Shedeur Sanders and Kirk Cousins has to do this all over again. But I think that they should, having an adult in the room. I don't trust Kenny Pickett. I'm so out on Kenny Pickett. I've been out on Kenny Pickett. He doesn't really do much for me. I don't know what their whole goal here is. That, like, maybe they hope former first rounder, there's still something there. I think that you need to have somebody who has been through so many ups and downs with multiple teams. I would feel comfortable starting Kirk Cousins at the beginning of the year and seeing where he could go from there. Knowing what Stefanski got out of Joe Flacco makes me feel extremely comfortable with that. I think that it is a move that could pay dividends.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going out and trading for Kirk. He doesn't. Okay, if the Falcons want to pay Kirk Cousins, what, some absurd amount of money? Is like $40 million a year now that they're on the hook for this season? It might be a little bit more after the bonus. You're going to pay him that to be your backup quarterback. Oh, he's off the table then. I am not throwing draft capital and more money at this thing. That's a big no thank you. But if they release him, I don't mind Kirk. All right. That'll do it for the station buzz. Coming up here in about 5 minutes. We'll talk to Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, get his thoughts on the quarterback situation, the Myles Garrett presser, and a whole lot more. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11 on Overtime on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.